Planet Rock.
This is Mojo Rocks with me, Phil Alexander, here on Planet Rock. And right now, it is my pleasure to welcome you back to our celebration of the golden age of rock and roll in the company of, well, the venerable Mr. Ian Hunter and the equally venerable Mr. Verdon Allen of Mott the Hoople, of course. A pleasure and a great surprise to see you both, gents, actually.
Great to be here, yeah.
No, but I am actually surprised that you're both here.
So we're back together, you mean?
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I'm surprised. The fact that we saw with those shows in 2009, we thought, well, that's it.
I was totally convinced that was it, you know.
So what changed?
Well, now and again, somebody comes up with an offer, and then this time round, it went into an auction. And it got silly, you know, so in the end it was like, oh, well, why not, you know.
Yeah, yeah, so the big bag of money is out and on the table. And,
well, we're not getting any younger.
For the love of it. You know,
we wouldn't, we wouldn't do it if we didn't like doing it, but it's to get it off the ground and all, it's always nice if you get a few bob.
Yes, of course, and you know, to be honest with you as well, it also takes a fair amount of money to do it in terms of the logistics and getting everybody.
A lot of work as well goes into it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I mean, we joke about that.
A lot of people don't think about that, though.
Well, no, and obviously people tend to say as well, oh, they're doing it for the money. Well, you know what? If you're in it just for the love, still.
Well, I was for many years.
Well, you know what? That's one band. You are the one band that would be pretty hard to accuse of not having been in it for the love. We'll come on to...
Something happens, they say, oh, they've sold out.
Yeah. We'll come on to the in it for the love part of your career in a short while, actually. But obviously, you know, the last time that you all got back together, I mean, for you guys, what was it actually like? Because a lot of people spoke to you in the run-up to it, and then, you know, no one actually sat down and went, so, guys, how was it? Because it must have been very emotional, and, you know, it must have had its ups and its downs. What was it actually like?
I thought it was great. The emotional part for me was when we rehearsed in Rockfield, and then Buffing came and played us, and the five of us were actually together.
Yeah.
That was very emotional.
You walk on with that intro music. It's pretty amazing feeling when you go on there. And the band was much, much better than I thought it was going to be. It really was. Mm. I mean, Fowley and Pete, they hadn't lost a... You worry about people who haven't played for a long time, and they hadn't lost an inch. In fact, Pete was telling me what to do, you know.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Yeah.
And it felt like now. It didn't feel like on the pier at Butlins, you know. It didn't feel like that at all. It felt like now. It felt real good.
I mean, that's the thing, though, as well, about the music that you're playing. You know, there is a sense that music has... It just hasn't aged somehow, you know. There's that sort of energy and feel to it that is really... I don't know. It just feels like...
That was a concern for me at one time when we started rehearsing, whether it would be okay. But soon we started rehearsing.
No, it's kicked in real good, you know. And Martin Chambers is Buff's double, you know, so it was great.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, I think we'll play a classic tune from 72, Honolulu Boogie, of course. We'll play that and then we'll come back.
That's a good one, that, yeah.
It's a great one, isn't it?
I hate it.
It's a good one. Sequence line of keyboards for organ, because it wasn't recorded with actual organ.
Right.
I hated it. It didn't mean anything. I'm saying to Pete and Buffett, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. It's a puppet.
You know what?
Yes, but it doesn't mean anything.
But this is the thing. This is exactly what I was going to ask you about when we come. But let's play. Let's play it, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
Real classic rock. Planet Rock.
That was released as the follow-up to the smash hit All the Young Dudes, of course, back in the day, Honolulu Boogie. And our guests this evening, of course, are Mott Men, Ian Hunter and Verdon Allen here. Ian, you were saying that you hated it because that track didn't mean anything. And I was actually going to ask you about the lyrical inspiration behind songs like that.
No idea. You know. Honolulu, I mean, just fit with the chord rundown, you know. We'd just done Dudes. We knew we had to get another one because we couldn't keep on using David songs, you know.
Yeah.
So there was 9 months there where Mick was trying to write them. I mean, everybody was trying to get one. And that came up, and it was a bit too poppy for me. But Buff and Pete loved it. And they were the guys that used to judge whether we did it or not.
Yeah.
We'd play stuff in the rehearsal rooms, and then they'd pick up on it, or they wouldn't.
Yeah.
They picked up on that, and I'm like, but it doesn't mean anything. I remember it was in Air 2. Mm-hmm. And the argument we were having in the actual studio itself, you know.
Since we're talking about the sort of bad old days as well, you know, and we were talking about the period
the bad old days were good.
Well, I'm sure they were, but equally, you know, that period where you were kind of doing it for love, as it were. When you think back about that, I mean, what are the overriding memories, though? Because, I mean, you know, really... From 69 to 72, it was a real struggle to eke out a living. The music was obviously great, but it didn't seem to go beyond, you know, a certain mass of people. I mean, how do you look back at
that
time?
I did build.
Now?
It started in the pubs, the clubs, little clubs, Letchworth Youth Club, all that kind of thing. Yeah. Then it sort of built. And then I remember the night we went across from the Greyhound Croydon into the Fairfield Halls Croydon. We were doing that. We were building up a live audience. Yeah, got to the point where we were selling out everywhere.
That's right.
Still hadn't had a hit.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that then. You could do it for a little while.
Yeah.
But you had to have a hit to sustain it, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was also that you were very much a people's band, weren't you? That was the thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was,
they
you
got know, up on stage with us. They did it. If we died, it wasn't a question of us dying. It was everybody dies.
It all started at the Roundhouse. It was the first gig we'd done when it... plus the second gig we'd done, whatever, but the first one when it clicked.
Yeah. So when talking about the band's history, obviously the moment where everything does click is you know with David Bowie's you know involvement as it were and what have you, and you know the song you know All the Young Dudes and fine you know great song, but equally was that a blessing or a curse?
It was both.
Right.
The blessing was we had the hit that we'd always wanted, and the curse was that the. I mean, Fall had already gone by this time, and Mick Rouse was getting disenchanted because now we were a pop band, you know.
Yeah.
And but, you know, we had to make a living. The alternative to that would have been nothing. Would have been a slow decline in attendances, and the band would have been over.
Yeah.
So we had to do it.
But you didn't think that, I presume, at the time. Is that what you were thinking at the time?
Yeah, and I was also worried because Mick was writing great songs, and I couldn't sing them.
Right.
And that was another problem because, you know... publishing's a big one, you know. So eventually Mick, you know, found his mark with Bad Company.
Yeah. So these shows are coming up. Any surprises that anybody can expect from them?
We've got to keep up to the standard of the Apollo. If not, get better than that.
Yeah, maybe improve a little. Yeah. We know each other now. We know Martin Chambers now. We're a bigger advantage now than we were. Last time we genuinely didn't know if it was going to work. You know?
Yeah.
And it did. This time we know it works. We know the X factors there, which is how we were never that great a band. It was just something weird with us. And if that had gone in 2009, we know it was over. But it was still there, you know.
Yeah. So never that great a band.
This will be more of an on the road feeling, you know.
Well, it will be, won't it? I mean, genuinely will be on the road.
The Apollo is like a residency, if you think about it.
Yeah. No, it is. You know, and you know, I mean,
but the madness was there. Yeah. I think that's the predominant thing.
Yeah.
It is a very odd band. That's why it doesn't work that much. But that was still there. Oh.
Well, gentlemen, I thank you so much for joining us this evening. We'll play another tune now and let you slope off. This is Crash Street Kids, and we'll be back in just a short while. UK.